A lot of people may not realize that Linda Carter, the star of the 1970s TV show Wonder Woman, is Mexican-American. Born Linda Jean Cordova Carter in Phoenix, Arizona, like a lot of Mexican-American people, did not grow up speaking Spanish in her household, probably because her parents didn't want her stigmatized for being bilingual. However, in a rare TV special, Linda Carter actually read a letter from a young little girl who was a fan of hers in Spanish. Take a listen.
It's been some time since I played that role, but the show continues to air, and I still receive these terrific letters from the kids who watch. I've got to read some of these for you. They're great. Me llamo María Lorena Blasquez. Tengo 9 años. Un día soñé que ella era mi amiga y me enseñaba cómo se transformaba y yo me transformé como ella. Hasta muy pronto. Me despido de usted con mucho cariño. María, me alegro que te guste el programa. Soy tu amiga.
One of the campiest TV shows ever was the 1960s Batman, whose success not only shaped television, but helped propel the careers of Broadway stars like Eartha Kitt and Lee Merriweather into superstardom.
In order to capitalize on Batman's success, ABC Television scrambled to put together several pilots of the popular Wonder Woman comic book, until they struck gold with Mexican-American model and dancer Linda Carter, whose on-screen charisma and gorgeous looks cemented the show and helped pave the way for today's blockbuster films and television shows.
Today, we take a look at the campy 1970s TV show Wonder Woman. Stanley Ralph Ross's Batman screenwriter and narrator and composer Charles Fox's chart-topping theme songs. And of course, Super Tuesday. You're planning on voting, right?
Plus, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar unexpectedly quit the presidential race and endorsed Joe Biden. And despite low polling, Elizabeth Warren is still going forward. For now.
Meanwhile, Dick Van Dyke gets the crowds cheering at a Bernie Sanders rally. We love Dick.
Don't we all?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion. And this is Feast of Fun.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. Having gay boys fantasy growing up. I'm just going to swing around and swing around, and eventually I'll be a beautiful woman.
You know, this is the soundtrack to the TV show that was released on CD about a decade ago.
Yeah.
Sounds like it was just recorded yesterday. I mean, listen to this.
It has a very disco kind of feel, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's Charles Fox, honey.
And who is Charles Fox?
Back in the days of early television, in the 1960s, I guess, you know, where...
60s, 70s.
I Love Lucy. A lot of those shows just... That was the 50s. The theme songs just went... Like, it just came and went.
Yeah.
Really fast. And TV producers started realizing that if they put a lot of money into developing the theme songs for TV shows, they could get free publicity by getting the TV, the radio stations, to play the theme songs.
Oh, yeah,
for the
shows. Without a doubt.
And so a lot of TV producers hired some of the best songwriters of the time, and Charles Fox ruled the roost. Mm-hmm. If you guys, you're like, who the hell's Charles Fox? What?
Was he Foxy?
Was he Foxy? Right?
What did he write?
His number one chart-topping song was Killing Me Softly with his song.
Oh.
Killing Me Softly with
Roberta Flack?
Yep.
Rest her soul.
But he wrote Love American Style.
That was big on the radio.
Love American Style. Bigger on the... Anyways, Love Boat. The Love Boat.
That got some radio play a little bit, but not
It was
that
actually number 37 on the U.S. Billboard charts the year it came out in 1979.
Wow.
Sung by Jack Jones. And he also did the theme song to Laverne and Shirley. We're going to do it. Give us any room, we'll break it.
Mm-hmm.
And Happy Days, Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Yep,
got air radio play for sure.
And one of my favorite TV shows that a lot of people don't know about, The Bugaloos, with Martha Ray as the villain.
Oh, wow.
Who plays a bird.
That inspired a lot of your drag.
It really did. Oh, my God.
It says a lot about your drag.
Yeah, and so I just stumbled upon this soundtrack, and it got me, like, searching on YouTube for videos of people, like, transforming into Wonder Woman.
Because that's what you spent most of this day, right? You a good portion of the day, you're like, look at this one. Look at this guy spin around. Look at him. He turns into a business suit.
He gets into a business suit. And there's something so wonderful and beautiful. And initially, when Linda Carter took on the role, they'd first done it with Kathy Lee Crosby.
So that was 2 years earlier, and they made like they thought it was going to be a pilot, but it ended up being like a 2-hour movie. And so, you know, it wasn't Kathy Lee Crosby's a blonde. And, you know, you think of Wonder Woman and you think of her with that jet black hair and those blue eyes, right?
Yeah. She's and, you know, Wonder Woman's supposed to be an Amazonian beauty.
Mm-hmm. The daughter of Zeus.
I think, right?
And Hippolyta.
And Hippolyta. So when they cast Kathy Lee Crosby, they were like, even Kathy Lee Crosby is like, isn't Wonder Woman supposed to be a brunette? And they're like, who cares?
It was, you know, it was women's liberation. They were breaking boundaries. They were crushing that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So they're like, we can do anything.
And so the guy who wrote for he was the screenwriter for the Batman TV series. His name is Stanley Ralph Ross. Mm-hmm. And you guys remember, like, same Bat Channel, same network, you know.
That was his voice.
That was his voice, yeah.
He was the narrator.
And so he developed, he came in with ABC Television after the failed Kathy Lee Crosby and said, no, you're doing all this wrong. We need to get a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Carter was definitely, I think she had won some pageants. And she was known as a dancer, but she was dirt broke at the time. She had only $25 in the bank when she got cast, and she had to borrow money from friends and family to pay her rent.
Oh,
Linda motherfucking Carter, honey. She was the most beautiful actress ever to set foot on a Hollywood soundstage. And so they had her initially taking her clothes off and folding it like she was doing laundry.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is not sexy. This is not what a superhero does. And so she says, why don't I just do a pirouette? And then you guys can fully in the sound and explosion. Mm-hmm. And the rest is drag history, darling.
Yeah, she came up with it herself.
And I have seen so many drag queens enter a dance floor with that Wonder Woman explosion and doing a spin. Like, everybody's done that. Every gay boy, every girl, anybody who admired Wonder Woman in that TV show in the 1970s as a kid, you know, you can watch it on YouTube. And as a kid, just, you know, spinning around, pretending to transform into Wonder Woman. It didn't work. You just got nauseous and started
It didn't
vomiting.
Work, but usually you had like some, like your friends would make an explosion or you'd have like some kind of like towel on or something. So it helped with the effect to happen. Because I didn't, you know, I didn't mind cosplaying as Wonder Woman when we were kids and we were playing superheroes. Because you had to spin around. You got to do something.
You would tie up your friends and make them tell the truth.
Tell me you love me. You love me, don't you?
Make a liar tell the truth.
Save the world.
Yeah, and I guess Linda Carter was paid more than the men in that episode. Lyle Waggoner was originally cast first, but she was paid almost double what he earned.
Wow.
And he was furious about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was a total sexist asshole. And so he's on this feminist, you know, campy, queer friendly TV show. And Lyle Waggoner's like, I'm a bigger star than you, Linda Carter, and I should be paid equal or more.
So he was kind of like the Ginger Grant of that series.
What was that? Ginger Grant got cast
Tina
on?
Tina Louise was cast on Gilligan's Island, and she thought when she was getting cast, because she had a career in Europe making a lot of, like, you know, films, mostly B films, sword and sandal kind of stuff. But when she got that role, she thought it was going to be, she was the movie star, she was on this island, and that it was going to be mostly centered around her. They led her to believe that she would be the star. And, well, she was the movie star on the island, but she was definitely not the star of the series. So she kind of resented it, and that's why when they had, like, the comeback thing, she didn't want to do it. She had done some. And
yeah, she had a cold shoulder about it.
She might be the only one left, I think.
That's still alive, possibly, so, yeah. And so listen to the list of women who auditioned for Wonder Woman who didn't get the role, but later got cast on another show that became a hit, Charlie's Angels.
Ooh.
Farrah Fawcett wanted the role, Jacqueline Smith, Kate Jackson, and even David Bowie's wife at the time, Angela, also tried.
Wow.
Hey, Angela, why don't you try being Wonder Woman? So that's all, a different show. But
all three Charlie's Angels tried out for it?
Yeah.
Wow. I think Jacqueline Smith would have probably made the best one. Farrah would have been pretty good too, but would she have dyed her hair?
I don't think so. And that I don't was think the Kate problem
Jackson
with it,
would
yeah.
have been as good.
No, no. Kate Jackson to me was the kind of a snappy, smart alecky kind of, you know, no nonsense.
Yeah. Not you an know. Amazon.
No, no.
Not
no.
an Amazon.
She's like the...
If she was the daughter of a Greek god, she'd be like the daughter of like... I don't
Hermes.
Know. Maybe Hermes. No, that's the fast one, right?
She's the one who always would quips. She was like Lenny in Law and Order.
She'd be like Athena, the daughter of Athena, not Hippolyta.
Like they would give them an assignment and she'd be like, well, that's going to be an easy assignment. You know, at the end of like Charlie
she
would
knew
say
karate, right?
She knew karate.
Wasn't that her thing? She knew karate.
That was her yeah. thing. Wonder Woman's swimsuit had to be redesigned during the series. So initially they had the little skirt that she had in the first episode, the pilot, and then they never used it again. Cause they, I mean, Linda Carter, why would you want her to hide
anything?
Want
to show those legs,
show those motherfucking gorgeous legs. And they designed a swimsuit for her and it was such a problem filming cause her boobs would pop out of it.
She was well done. Well, she had a scuba outfit too. And if I'm not mistaken, the scuba outfit was the exact same outfit as her motorcycle outfit.
Yeah.
They just made it like, because that maybe it wasn't a real scuba outfit or not. It was just kind of the same thing.
You know, the crazy thing is that in the second episode, she fights the Nazi supervillain.
Yes.
Named Fausta.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
And I was like, oh my God, this show is written for me.
But she can, I think she kind of tames Fausta, much like I tamed you, right?
Yeah, she says,
A
civilization that does not respect the feminine is doomed to failure, and sisterhood is more powerful than anything.
And she's just like, you're right, I'm going to go stomp some Nazi's ass.
That's basically it. Yeah. She melts Fausta's heart, and she turns a hawk into a dove.
Oh, just like the song
says. She makes the axis fold. She makes, change our hearts, and save the world.
And then she goes to sleep for 40 years and then comes back for 30 years later.
Yes, as an international
spy. Her love interest is dead. And now she's working with her dead lover's
son. Yeah.
That's not weird at all.
And they were like, the producers intentionally kind of did that. And they felt that had Linda Carter and Lyle Wagner... Well, in real life, they hated each other. They didn't even want to do a kissing scene.
Oh, really? Like the animosity was that great?
It was really bad, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like worse than Sex and the City between...
Kim Cattrall?
Yeah.
And everybody else? you're breaking my heart there because it's like, I don't know, Lyle Wagner, I had a crush on him when I was young.
Yeah, they hated each other.
Handsome older daddy. He was on the Carol Burnett show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was a star before, so she was kind of like a nobody, really. And then he was an established star, so I guess I could kind of understand the jealousy. But you're on a TV show called Wonder Woman, you know. Give some respect.
That's the thing. The weirdest thing is like, you know, it's like the woman who played Aunt Vivian in Fresh Prince. Mm-hmm. She also Shangela's godmother. Mm-hmm. I forgot her name, but Aunt Vivian is what I know her.
Jennifer something.
And she, she's always like mad about that the show wasn't built around her. And I'm like, you are an amazing actress. You're a camp icon legend. But when you get cast on a TV show and your name's not on the title, you're not going to be the primary character. No. You got to get used to that.
People will not care about you as much, even though they might care about you now.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find a vehicle where you'll be the star.
Do you know Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch had a guest appearance when she was a little girl on Wonder Woman?
Really?
Yeah, it was a very memorable episode. And I still remember it to this day.
Well, it would have been post-Brady Bunch, right? She would have already...
It was around that time when the Brady Bunch...
They weren't on it.
She was still a kid, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was also in another TV series where it was like In Search of, one of those, you know, spooky sci-fi shows. But Eve Plum got a lot of acting gigs that the other kids didn't. And she played a girl that got hypnotized. And then she managed to take Wonder Woman's belt off of her. And that's what gave her super strength. Mm-hmm. And so they wrapped
Hercules.
They wrapped it around a log, mm-hmm. and the kids broke the door that they kept Wonder Woman, because then the log had super strength. The thing I like most about Wonder Woman 2, it was really is the music, besides the campiness and the beauty of Linda Carter. I mean, let me play you a little bit of this is from the soundtrack CD that you can't find it anywhere. It's like, it costs like $100 to buy on Amazon. This is the scene where she's racing after the villain on a skateboard. And then she jumps into a helicopter and hangs off of it and goes off 50 feet in the air. You can kind of hear the helicopter sound there, right?
Well, it was not, Linda Carter didn't actually do the stunt.
Well, according to this History of Television article that I found, she had not originally done it, but the stunt double was so bad that they just said, let's just put Linda Carter in the air and just strap her to the helicopter. Let's take a little
what
break.
What a trooper. What a trooper, that Linda.
Let's take a break and listen to a little bit of this. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous, legendary people like you.
Yeah, you, baby. You're the one that makes this show happen. We couldn't do it without you.
Go to feastoffun.com/plus and consider becoming a member and access thousands of legendary shows, or get yourself a Feast of Fun t-shirt at our chic boutique, feastoffun.com/store. It's Super Tuesday.
It sure is.
Are you going to vote, honey?
Oh, I liked Mardi Gras better. Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday to Super Tuesday. What's next? Triple Deluxe Mega Tuesday?
So, in case you haven't been on Facebook, everybody's weighing in on the U.S. presidential election with all the Democratic candidates fighting to get to the front, to reach the most votes, the pledges, right?
Yes. Most pledged votes.
In order to become the candidate for the fall election.
Because they don't want to go into like a brokered convention.
What is a brokered convention?
Well, it's when they get together and they just, you know, it's broken, so they try to fix it.
Has there ever been a brokered convention?
Well, I think so.
Can you argue that the last election was brokered to some degree?
Well, I think Hillary went in there clearly as the nominee, right?
With Bernie Sanders' endorsement.
Yes, with Bernie Sanders' endorsement.
And then Hillary later on said he didn't do enough for her. I was like, lady, what do we want me to do? Polish your toes?
Yeah, well, maybe he should have said, I'm going to go to Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and what was the other state?
Ohio.
And Michigan.
And
right?
Michigan.
And Michigan. It was Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Maybe I'll go there because I know you're not going there, so I'll go there for you. Maybe he could have done that.
Maybe. Yeah. This is a breaking news, although you've heard right now. So Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, whose names I cannot pronounce, That's okay because they're not running anymore.
Amy and Pete.
Amy and Pete, they both dropped out and shortly thereafter, lent their support and endorsed Joe Biden.
They jumped on planes. People were like, some planes are being rerouted to Dallas. So they met Joe Biden in Dallas for a rally, and Beto O'Rourke came onto the stage as well. And so Beto, Amy, and Pete, all the moderates, all are with Joe Biden now. So it's basically,
is it fair to call them moderates? I mean, they're the conservative wing of the Democratic Party.
I guess so. You could call them the conservative wing. Yes, the more conservative people.
They're the ones who are making the argument against.
Moderate, I think they're considered moderate compared to Republicans.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Yes.
Yeah, but like that, you know, conservative and progressive is relative term. Mm-hmm. You know, Was it Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, in another country, the Democratic Party would be the conservative party.
Yeah.
And the point is that it's a relative perspective that they're taking. And certainly Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, famously said, I am standing against the values of the 1960s, and people were like, isn't that when Stonewall happened?
Well, no kidding. Well, he's also endorsing Joe Biden, who in fact, voted for Doma, where Bernie Sanders was just like, no.
Doma prevented you and I from getting legally married.
Well, yeah, for a long time until Illinois recognized it. And then, eventually the state of or the United States recognized it. And so, I think it's interesting that he would. I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? Because he was the kind of person that says, yeah, I'm gay, but it doesn't define me. So for me, I'm just kind of like, there's a lot of social issues that I think are important. And that's what Bernie addresses. You know, he's not worried about making the rich people feel very comfortable. Which is something I feel like Pete is doing. He's like, I don't want to upset everybody. I don't want to sign anybody. So we're going to do moderate and we're going to be conservative and just do what we can. We want to be nice to people, but not too nice.
I'm surprised that more people, because Chase and Buttigieg lived in Chicago for a while. Mm-hmm. He worked as a Starbucks barista.
And a teacher.
And I think a public school
teacher. Have been a Starbucks barista up in Wisconsin.
He did that so he could get health care.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would sort of understand or value the idea of universal healthcare, but there are other factors at play, obviously there. And I'm surprised that since he was sexually active and dating people here in Chicago, that no one's really come out forward saying hey, I went on a date with Chasten Buttigieg before he was with Pete.
Funny you should mention that. Well, we have a listener who said, and I don't know why all of a sudden maybe he contacted us today about it and said that when he was up in Milwaukee that he was considered going on some dates with Chase and
Mr. Melted Ice Cream that Matt Brown
likes
calls,
to call him that. And that he offered him certain services in parking lots.
Ooh, it kind of makes it, hearing these stories of gay men coming forward saying that they,
makes me like them more.
It makes me like them more. Yeah. I always felt they were really square and kind of very guarded and weirdly cautious. Mm-hmm. And when, millions of dollars are riding on your neck,
for sure,
you'd be cautious, right?
You don't want to be caught in a sling at a bathhouse. No.
No. I mean, look how nervous the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race get when $100,000 is on the line. That's just $100,000.
It's not the presidency.
It's not the U.S. presidency. It's not the future of all the people you know's lives is at stake. Mm. So part of me, hearing all this stuff is I kind of, it makes them feel more relatable. And I don't know if that says a lot about our community. People on social media are like, all you guys were hating on Pete Buttigieg. And now you're all saying acknowledging that he was a historical first. Decide which one it is. And I'm like, it could be both.
It could be both. Listen, I've always said I was super happy to have him there. I think that it's important to have an LGBT person out there on that major platform. I don't like a lot of his policies, and that was it. I think he's charming. I think he's cute.
He was super charming.
But, his policies are just too conservative for me.
It would have been a delight.
I'm not saying he's not queer enough.
Yeah.
But he's not queer enough.
And this is the thing.
In the political kind of sense.
That I'm thinking about Joe Biden and all this hustling and candidates dropping out and endorsing Joe Biden. If Joe Biden has only to do one thing. If you want to defeat Bernie Sanders,
what's that?
Become Bernie Sanders.
Well, he won't do that. He doesn't understand what that means to dedicate your life to the right thing.
to civil rights, to equality, yeah. to healthcare. And part of it is like...
He fought for segregation, right?
He fought for segregation.
Or separation of or desegregation of schools. He fought
He was against desegregating schools. Yeah. And part of it is like Biden was chosen when Obama was running for president because he was the more conservative candidate. Mm-hmm. And I'm very concerned, as you guys are who are listening to this, that Joe Biden, if he gets the nomination, he'll choose someone equally moderate, conservative, whatever you want to call it, and not someone that's a lot more progressive than he is, in order to invite the Bernie Sanders supporters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's at the stake and why people, if you want to know why people are salty or frustrated or fighting with each other on social media, I think part of that comes from the fact that the Democratic Party isn't trying to address the differences of opinions. And whether, you know, part of it is like, it's really weird hearing people that I know who have fought for HIV and AIDS and understand the cost of not having healthcare, mm-hmm. Medicare for all in this country, understand what a waste of money that the system that we have is. And having them being like arguing that we can't have universal healthcare, even though every single Western nation has it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And people are like, well, how are people going to pay for it? I'm like, well, you know, maybe stop the endless wars. Maybe that's something. Maybe tax the rich who aren't paying any taxes at all.
All they're asking is to tax the wealthy, have the wealthy pay the same amount of taxes they paid in 1965.
And is that a lot?
Yeah. Feed the birds.
Tuppence
a bag. Mm. That was a Mary Poppins with its socialist message.
Dick Van Dyke coming out of stage. And Dick
Van Dyke coming out of retirement, be like, step in time.
Vote for Bernie. And everybody's screaming, we love Dick.
That was so cute.
I know. Don't we all love Dick?
Also, don't we all, baby? As May
well, you know, what's so amazing, it's like, if you're Elizabeth Warren, and, you know, I like Elizabeth Warren, I like her for all the reasons everybody else likes her. But then, you know, when she's there and she looks out and sees that huge crowd for Bernie, wouldn't she just be like, I'm never going to make it against this guy? I mean, what at this point in time, what is she really kind of hoping for?
I don't know. And part of it is maybe, you know, a lot of these people who are running for presidency feel like they would like cabinet positions because they want to influence. I don't know if they're going to make any more money. Like, if you think about it, money wise, is it more lucrative to be part of the president's cabinet than it is to be a very respected and influential U.S. senator? Mm. I don't know. But in terms of influencing
cabinet
policy,
members have a lot of power.
And influencing policy, maybe she just sees the writing on the wall and she's like, if I, you know, feel, you know, the Democratic establishment feels that they want to keep Bernie Sanders. They're very clear about the fact that they don't want to see Bernie Sanders get it.
Yes.
And Bernie Sanders, it's still his race to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It is, if people want a progressive Bernie Sanders presidency, today is the day you go vote for that. And if you don't, stay home. But, and so, you know, seeing Elizabeth Warren not dropping out, not endorsing Bernie Sanders, and seeing a lot of her supporters saying that she still can overtake Biden and Bernie Sanders seems to me a little, now that they have both Pete Buttigieg's and Amy Klobuchar's support.
It seems a little bit of wishful thinking for sure, but we'll know by the end of today or tomorrow is like how far Elizabeth Warren will stay in.
We might not even know until California. And even then,
well, it's California is tomorrow, isn't it?
California. I don't believe California is tomorrow.
Yeah, California is part of Super Tuesday. Let's see. Pretty sure.
Yeah, but California takes a long time to count their votes.
Oh,
so
really?
We won't know by the end of Tuesday what happened in California.
How long are they going
to
take?
They can take sometimes up to 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. So they have in the past. So, California is expected to go for Bernie Sanders, but we don't really know. So they're going to be relying on exit polls to sort of get an idea of what's going on in California. And, you know, meanwhile, my mother, who watches a lot of cable news because she had nothing better to do, she's there. And people who support Bloomberg. They're like, so people that about Bloomberg?
Well, people that are watching this, all those expensive television ads, because, you know, a lot of his ads really do attack Trump like nobody else does. And so I'm very grateful that he's in this election in some senses, just because he can be that devil, that guy who slings the mud and just points out, like, I'm a billionaire, I'm richer than Trump, and he's an asshole. And I just took out a billboard that says Donald Trump cheats at golf, because he does.
And, you know, if you watch a lot of television, Bloomberg seems like a really desirable candidate to be seen running against Donald Trump.
Yeah, and if you don't really care about, like, not care about, but unaware of a lot of, like, those race issues, like stop and frisk, and, you know, because some old people are like, well, what's so bad if they look like they're violent criminals, you know? But, well, because they're all black?
Bloomberg was at a black church trying to rally support, and the people of the church turned their backs to him.
They sure do. Not everybody, but a lot of them did.
They were like, I do not want to see this clown.
No, not him. No.
So what do you think is going to happen on Tuesday? I mean, we get a chance to predict it. We're taping this on the eve of Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think Pete or Amy are going to do very well, even if people wrote in votes. I think Sanders is not going to do very well. I think Sanders is going to do very well. I think Joe Biden's going to do okay. And I don't think Warren's going to do very well. I think she'll do kind of okay-ish.
One thing I don't understand is how the votes that have already been cast for Amy and for Pete, do they, now that they endorsement, do they automatically go to Biden?
I think they can go to like a second choice or something like that. I don't think that's exactly how it works.
So like, does the tally get counted again? Or how? I'm curious to see where this is all going to play out. And maybe some of the listeners can help weigh in on that. How do you guys think this is going to go? Should we be expecting Warren to drop out? A lot of articles are on the internet saying if Warren wants to do the right thing for progressives, the best thing she can do at this point is drop out and endorse Bernie Sanders. But I don't think that's one thing she wants to do. I think she's made it very clear that she sees herself as a rival against Bernie Sanders at this point. And when she went up to him and said, hey, you know, why are you calling me a liar, saying that a woman can't run for president? Even I've been called a liar and I'm like, I work really hard to bring women into positions of leadership. Mm. I would love to see Warren be a president. Someone asked me, why are you saying that she's not electable? And I said, you know, all the candidates are electable.
She's been elected to other things.
In polls, even Amy Klobuchar, if they're running against Donald Trump, they will all beat him.
Oh, really? All of them?
All of them. Now, some little narrow, you know, Biden actually comes across narrower than some of the other candidates. If you wanted to have the most successful election, like the widest margin, it would be Bernie Sanders versus Trump.
Because he's across platforms, race,
this is just based on polls.
Yeah.
If you want the narrowest one, that will be Biden versus.
But he still could win.
They all were going to win. Okay. It's we're going to be. Trump is making it so easy for any Democrat to become the next president.
So is he going?
You cannot make this election easier than what Trump is doing already by fucking up the economy. The economy's tanked, so you can't win an election with a bad economy. And I mean, look at the stock market. Look at the Dow. It's like it's all plowed down to the bottom.
I think some things went back up.
You open your stock app on your phone, it's all red. Okay.
Yikes.
and then the coronavirus and adding Mike Pence to run this, the HIV nightmare in Indiana guy.
So, you know, for the people out there that aren't aware, Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana and he cut a lot of HIV funding, and they had a huge outbreak in Indiana of people with HIV, and a lot of this was men who have sex with men, but a lot of people who were drug users because there was no kind of drug counseling, no kind of HIV prevention there. And so what happens is you cut this kind of funding, and then the next thing you know, you have to spend more money because more people have HIV and AIDS.
And we're trying to understand the dynamics here. You know, even though it's clear that Mark and I favor and are voting for Bernie Sanders, we would equally be delighted. I would still be delighted with Bloomberg as a candidate. I'll just say it. It would be I would think it would be a travesty to some degree, but we could do much worse.
I just really feel like as a nation to move forward, we really need to get Medicare for all for people. We need to join the rest of the developed world and have that, because I'm just seeing I've lost too many friends, you know, too many artists, people that are on the fringe, you know, that drag queen at the bar that just waited to go to the doctor because they were worried about paying that kind of bill. I want people to get healthcare and to be healthy, because when they do that, they contribute to society and we live in a better world.
Do you know how much the test of the coronavirus?
$3,988.
You haven't memorized by now.
Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Where's
my bill? I knew it was something like that. It was crazy.
About $4,000.
Yeah.
So
do you need to be tested? What's going to, like, what are
most
you
people's
out?
Deductible for their people with good health insurance have a deductible about $5,000. Most people with a health insurance, it's between 10 and 20 grand deductibles. A deductible means this is money you, in addition to paying those premiums, in addition to paying for healthcare every month, you're also paying for shit that you need to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come down with the symptoms of coronavirus, you're going to have to pull out of your wallet somewhere in the ballpark of $4,000. Because most, I don't think well, I know, I don't, it,
they,
I don't know
they
anybody
test
with,
you for the virus or they would just treat
this
you.
Is I mean, people, what this is just, do? We're just talking about the test. Yeah. We're not talking about anything mm-hmm. else. Just, mm-hmm. just figuring out that you have it. And that's not the hospital visit. That's not the doctor visit. That's the one test. And I don't know. Can you, do you guys out there who are listening, do you guys have a low deductible on your healthcare premiums that would cover that? I don't know anybody who does. So let's step back here and say, let's just assume and hope that coronavirus isn't going to be this pandemic, you know, that zombie show apocalypse kind of
thing. The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, you know. Let's just assume there's not going to be that. It's going to be a minor thing, but what if it is? We have the opportunity to stop that in its tracks if we gave everybody Medicare for all. If people could get tested, then we could find out who actually has this and start developing treatment or concerns. You know, you're seeing, like, it's disturbing. A lot of people who are traveling in airports, people are covering their mouths, but their hands are all exposed.
And then wash your hands.
And they're buying a burrito at the stop and eating
it.
Picking
and their nose.
Picking
their
nose.
Wiping it on people's burritos. And, you know, people are gross.
So I don't know. You know, it gives me a lot of concern. Trump is making this very easy for somebody to come in and win. I mean, if you can't, you know, and Hillary lost to Trump. And Trump made it easy for Hillary to win.
Super easy.
But, you know, people, they want to blame Bernie Sanders. They want to blame Jill Stein. They want to blame other people. But I'm like, Republicans voted for Trump and Democrats voted for Hillary, but Hillary still lost.
Well, and part of it is, you know, I think that the real Democratic establishment out there, in some ways, the people that control the purse strings, they don't really care who's in office in some senses, as long as it's somebody who's not a Democratic socialist, as long as it's somebody who is more conservative. That's who they want.
And, you know, there's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of wealthy people. I mean, Jeff Bezos is pouring billions of dollars into this election. Mr. Whole Foods, whole paycheck.
Mm.
You know, it's like Amazon. I mean, it's just like they...
There's a graph of like how much money he has. And they're like, here's $1 million. It's a grain of sand or no, it's a grain of rice, right? Here's $100 million. So it's like a 100 grains of rice.
It's a cup of rice.
And this is how much money he has. And he's got like $112 billion or something crazy like that.
You can't even eat that much rice in a year.
No, it's nuts.
And so in terms of the election, with social media, both Sanders and Warren have said that if they win, they're going to split Facebook into different companies. They feel that Facebook is violating antitrust laws. And so Facebook is doing everything they can to divide Democratic voters at this point.
Mm.
And that's part of the thing is like the Democratic Party may see things that we're not aware. They might know how fucked up and things are stacked. And so they're like, pleading with these oligarchs to try to get some type of, you know, compromise, unless we're going to have some fucked up coronavirus tanking stock market. Because when you tank that, when you piss off the rich people, not even a Republican can get into the White House.
Mm.
So it's an interesting election. You know, once again, may you live in interesting times. Please go vote, regardless of who you support, because when more people vote, we live in a better democracy. Mm-hmm. And that's what matters.
That's for sure. You know, I want to talk a minute about Trump's wall and what a folly it is. Because first of all, it's falling over. It's gotten like winds of blowing it over. But let me tell you about a festival in Mexico. This place, San Juan de la Vega. Uh-huh. And it's according to legend, San Juan de la Vega was a victim of a theft. Some banditos tried to steal his gold and they killed him. And so in this town, they have a celebration where they take sledgehammers, and at the edge of the sledgehammers, they put a mixture of sulfur and chlorate, and then they take the sledgehammers and they bang them against rail beams to make an explosion. And so what happens is like there's, you know, it's a guy typically taking the sledgehammer with this powder at the end of it, slamming it against a rail beam, and like there being an explosion, so the hammer goes flying, he goes flying, people around are hurt. So this year, like 42,
I hope he's covering his ears.
42 people had to go to the hospital. You know,
Jesus.
And these people blow up shit for fun. You think that wall's gonna stop anybody?
They're gonna bring some of that powder and that hammer and smash that wall.
I'll post a link up so you can see the videos of it. It's just kind of like, you know how they tell you like when a fire, like don't go near a lit firecracker. You think it might be off, it might not be out, or it is out, but it's not, and then it blows up and you lose your finger and everything like that. That's what's going on.
Mexican aesthetics are really off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard stories, I don't know if this is true or not, of a guy with a battery pack.
Yeah, and like Tijuana and places like that.
And Tijuana goes around with electrodes, and all it is goes up to drunk patrons, and for money.
You can be sober, though, too.
He sees how much juice you can handle. He has a capacitor, you know, a little knob, and he gives you the two electrodes. And he's like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To well, see you know, if you don't drop dead.
Mexicans, they push the limits, you know. Think about those donkey shows in Tijuana, too.
What are you donkey shows? What do you mean?
You know, they have women and donkeys.
Well, they're not having sex with the donkeys. They're just dancing next to them.
Is that how it is?
Yeah, they're not sucking a donkey's
dick. I don't think so. Some of those shows, I think so. Yeah, isn't that what the joke is?
I think that's the urban legend. You
I'm
know,
sure it must have happened for it to be real.
It's yeah. probably one of those early Tom Hanks movies that predated the Bachelor Party films.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, some shit in Mexico, they eat bugs in candy.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
They have the cricket tacos.
Yeah. Do not fuck with
I want to try those cricket tacos. And their candy has spice in it.
Yeah.
Cayenne. It's like sugar and cayenne.
Do not fuck with Mexicans. They explode the hammer. Madonna is bursting into tears after falling off her chair.
Oh, poor
struggling
Lisita.
To walk at her show in Paris. People are saying this might be the last tours for Madonna. As somebody with chronic back pain and medical issues myself, I know how heartbreaking it is. You know, like you can hear my voice right now, how it kind of comes and goes. And I've gone to see a doctor's about it. And this is like, we don't know, you know, we know that my vocal cords are not closing, but it is, they said it's like not talking is not going to help you. So I'm doing some exercises and I'm doing some therapy for it, but it is like, you know, they said, be prepared someday in the next 5 to 10 years, you might lose your voice completely.
Oh my God. So I'll be doing the podcast all by myself.
I'll be doing like sign language.
Lucky listeners. Lucky, lucky, lucky. You.
And I know when you're an artist, part of it is even if you're making money or not making money or whatever, it's you're doing it because you love the work.
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna genuinely loves to dance and to sing and entertain an audience. We saw the Madame X show. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. She was living for it. A lot of people really hated the show and were like, I think it's fantastic. I think
what
it was,
did you like about it?
What I liked about it is that she was showing kind of like the part of herself. It wasn't like the huge, giant, giant spectacle production. It had a more intimate sense. She talked to the audience more. You felt like it was almost as though she was trying to build a community, you know?
And to me, it was like all the best things about performance art, cabaret, corporate rock shows and... You know, it was the most intimate. We all see Madonna interacting on talk shows or Instagram, and this is like hanging with her face to face. And to me, my favorite parts of the show was just when she just came out on stage and just started rambling and talking to her. It was like Madonna's podcast.
But with some backup dancers and some
singing. It's just Madonna and a Polaroid camera and her mm-hmm. boobs and her G-string and stuff like that. And, you know, she would take a sexy photo and then auction it off in the audience for charity.
But she's got a busted knee. She says she's, like, torn some cartilage. And that's stuff that takes a while to recover.
Yeah.
And some people never recover. Of course, you can always get, like, knee replacements and stuff like that. But I'm sure she doesn't want to go there.
It's tough because when you get the back surgery or you get your knee replacement or, you know, you're never the same again. And it's and my heart goes out mm-hmm. to anybody who's in that situation, regardless how much resources. She's getting her blood oxygenated.
Is she?
She's like getting like some weird dialysis where they like run her blood through like an aquarium pump.
Ooh, she's gonna become like fish lady. But you know, I mean, dancing keeps you young. You look at somebody like Cheetah Rivera; she's still going. She's 80-some years old, and Madonna.
But Cheetah's not touring like Madonna does. Madonna works a lot.
Yeah.
And she brings her family along. I mean, part of me, it's like seeing Madonna's joy and her family connecting and having fun on Instagram mm-hmm. Makes me like her so much more than I ever have before.
Mm.
This is the person we wanted when we were in our 20s. And now in the year 2020, we get to see Madonna be this amazing celebrator of obscure or Aboriginal or Latin and Brazilian music, and travels with her family and does all this kind of nonsensical weird stuff that celebrates anarchists and socialism and, you know, civil rights activists.
Rebel Heart #.
Well, what she start her show with was like artists are born to be hated by society or something.
They hate you because you see the truth. It was a quote from James Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like me to find it?
Sure.
Art is here to prove and to help one bear the fact that all safety is an illusion. In this sense, all artists are divorced from and even necessarily opposed to any system whatever.
The role of the artist is exactly the same as the role of a lover. If I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things that you don't see.
Societies never know it, but the war of an artist with his society is a lover's war. And he does, at his best, what lovers do, which is to reveal the beloved to himself and, with that revelation, to make freedom real.
Slay, queen.
Honey. Slay.
James Baldwin, the mm-hmm. great writer, philosopher, iconoclast, thought leader. May he live forever in our hearts and minds.
Well, he's living with Madame X right now.
Madonna's touring with James Baldwin starts off the show with that quote.
Part of that quote.
A lot of it. Madonna kind of, you know, mm-hmm. tightens it for entertainment mm-hmm. purposes.
Well, she also is like, and this is why people don't like me, because I'm an artist. Because you don't like artists.
And world. You know, Madonna, like backstage, she's climbing stairs in heels with an eye patch on
mm-hmm.
in the dark.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm surprised she hasn't broken both knees already.
Or hips or whatever. You know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. She is strong, honey.
Mm-hmm.
She is a tough cookie.
You know who else is a tough cookie? There's a woman, 61 years old. She needs to get a liver transplant. She goes to the doctor. She's got cirrhosis of the liver and diabetes. They're like hesitant. They're like, ma'am, like you said, you haven't drinking, but there's obviously alcohol in your system,
yeah.
like in your urine. And she's just like, no, I don't drink. I'm trying to get a goddamn liver transplant. And so they're thinking like, oh geez, what's going on? So they give a blood test to her and she doesn't have any blood, like any alcohol in her urine or in her blood. But then they test her urine. And it's like, yeah, sure enough, it's got alcohol in it. And so they discover that she's the first person in the world to be diagnosed with urinary autobrewery syndrome. And which yeast, the same similar type of yeast that makes beer, gets up into her bladder and is making beer out of her piss.
Unbelievable.
I know. Could you imagine all those piss queens out there that are just like, what, I can drink this stuff and get drunk?
That doesn't sound like she's doing too well, though. You
no,
know?
No,
that's
no,
not
no.
something you want to have. Be
no.
like, hey, now, you know, if you chill my urine, I can sell it for $50 a bottle.
Well, and I know somebody, too, that said, like, if they eat chocolate, the chocolate will turn into alcohol in their stomach. and like they'll get drunk from eating chocolate, and so they don't eat chocolate.
Wow, do you guys know anybody like that? I know who you're talking about, but it's like it. I've never met anybody else like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, this week, congratulations. After having British teeth.
I don't have British teeth. I have French Canadian teeth.
Mark is getting braces.
They're not called braces, Fausto. They're aligners. And if you don't treat me nicely, I'm going to make them into maligners and malign the hell out of you. So I have to wear them like 20 hours a day. But luckily, after like about 6.5 months, I'm going to have straight teeth.
Can you suck dicks with that mouth
you
now?
You know, it's because I wonder. The thing is, you can only drink like clear beverages while wearing them. You have to take them off.
So for your coffee, because you're you're part of the coffee achievers.
Yes. So I drink my coffee in the morning, I'll have to take them off.
Oh my God. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Fuck.
Is that because James Lipton died?
James Lipton.
And he would ask that on his TV show inside the studio. He would ask the
actors all the time. And I'm just like, what? He's a wonderful person of a time gone by.
Yes. 93 years old, dead.
Who was this acting teacher, entertainment icon, who managed to start a very successful interview series where he interviewed comedians and actors and media personalities, creative people, at an acting school for television.
Yeah.
And so they would bring him out and he would really get in there and needle their psyche like we do here on Feast of
Fun. He wants to know their craft too. So he's talking to actors about their craft in front of an audience of actors. Mm-hmm. And there was even one that was really cute, and you see a very young, Bradley Cooper asking one, I forget who the actor was, but you can find it on YouTube very easily. And you see him being like all earnest and being young and asking this famous actor, like, how do you do it in acting? And he's just like, well, son, that kind of thing.
You know, he was actually one of the first guests that I pitched to be a guest on the podcast back in 2005.
Oh, really?
James Lipton, because he had a book out. And so he was doing the media rounds, and the gay and lesbian newspaper that I was working for at the time, he was doing the press interviews, and everybody's like, this is just like your friend Bill Haddad, you know? Bill is he's been wearing suits, and he looks like Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
He has been wearing suits for probably 30 or 40 years of his life. So now today he is a distinguished senior citizen, but you know, 20 years ago he wasn't a senior citizen, but he looked like a senior citizen. And so Bill Haddad speaks just like James Lipton, which has this very authoritative and very curious but punctual way of talking, and adds extra syllables to words like water.
And amazingly enough, somewhere in the 40s or 50s, I think it was, he was a young person, 14, 15 years old, became a...
He ran a bordello.
I guess in some ways he was the pimp. He kind of like took care of like the front of the house business and made sure the girls were safe.
Unbelievable.
I know, it's not wild. My friend Kirsten was in an elevator with him in New York City, and he got on the elevator, and just before he got off, she goes, "What's your favorite swear word?" And he just laughed and walked off.
It's fuck, darling. Don't forget it. What was James Lipton's favorite fuck swear word?
I don't know if we know. Maybe it'll be on his tombstone.
Yeah, it just has one word, fuck.
James Lipton, and my favorite swear word is fuck.
Ooh, you know what that music means?
What's it mean?
We're on Paradise Island.
Ooh, who's going to win the contest to take Major Steve Trevor back to America?
So what was the pilot? Was that Cloris Leachman, comedian? She played Diana's mother, Wonder Woman's mother.
Yes.
And she had initially envisioned one of the Amazons
on Paradise Island
to take this fallen military man that had washed up on their shores
back to civilization. And Diana wanted to do it, but she knew she had to do it in disguise because her mother would never let her go, because her mother was very possessive. But then she did win.
Diana, I named this island Paradise for an excellent reason. there are no men on it. Thus, it is free of their wars, their greed, their hostility, their barbaric, masculine behavior. Oh, go in peace, my daughter, and remember that in a world of ordinary mortals, you are a Wonder Woman.
Thank you for listening to today's Feast of Fun. I hope you guys had as much fun listening to it as we had making it.
Thank you for being part of the Feast of Fun family and for joining us here or on our Facebook group, Feast of Fun, facebook.com/groups/Feast of Fun, where you can continue this conversation.
We can chat.
Everybody's welcome. Just please
be respectful.
If you're going to fight, fight on your own. I fight on Facebook too. I fight on my Facebook profile, you know?
I rarely fight, but when I my husband Fausto is like, you quit fighting. I'm like, oh my God, you've been in 5 fights today already. Physician, heal thyself and govern thyself accordingly.
Govern thyself accordingly.
I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye.